Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is William Bell, your host. Welcome to our Introduction to Bible Prophecy study this morning. We are talking today on the subject of, are we living in the last days? And our purpose is to identify from the Scripture the biblical time frame known as the last days. We welcome you to our broadcast and thank you for listening, those of you who may listen from time to time. On a more regular basis, we are especially and indeed appreciative of your listening. And if you are new to the broadcast, we are grateful for your presence as well. Want to introduce you to the subject of Bible prophecy from a fulfilled perspective. In other words, we want to show that God has fulfilled all of His Word and that we can have full faith, trust, and confidence in the completed fulfillment of all things that God has prophesied in the Scriptures. This is a way to help us in understanding the Bible that may have eluded us before. Some of the passages that seem to have been confusing maybe have not made any sense to you will no doubt begin to make a lot of sense, and it will bring the Bible into a more consistent whole for you in your understanding of it, rather than have it refer to a lot of disconnected prophecies and disconnected themes, but you will see that there is one continuous harmonious theme throughout the Scriptures as we study. We invite you to call in to engage in the discussion with us. We certainly would appreciate that and like to hear some dialogue from you. The call-in number is 646-378-1919. Again, the call-in number is 646-378-1919. You may also visit with us at our website, which is www.lastdayseschatology.net. Again, that's www.lastdays, and let me make the correction. There is a hyphen after last day, so it is lastdays-eschatology.net. lastdays-eschatology.net. We also have an additional website at www.allthingsfulfilled.com. It's spelled just the way it sounds, www.allthingsfulfilled.com. At each of those websites, you will find written articles, you will find downloadable material, audios, a few videos on the sites, and quite a bit of additional information that delves into many related and various themes on the end time, and we continually update the Last Days Hyphen Eschatology site on a pretty regular basis, so that with additional subjects and themes that relate to the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, you will find them on that particular website as we continue to update it and bring you more information on this topic. Again, the call-in number is 646-378-1919. That's 646-378-1919. I'm William Bell, your host. We're studying today, Are We Living in the Last Days? And we're going to look at this from a Bible perspective, using the Word of God as our only guide in our faith and practice. And we trust and pray that you have an understanding and a trust in the complete, unadulterated Word of God. The Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished to every good work. And so our purpose here is to study the Word of God, which is an inspired message. We also are mindful of the text which we find in Acts chapter 17, verses 11 and 12, that says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, both of honorable women and of men, not a few. So we have the purpose of searching the scriptures, using an inspired book, the Bible, to determine whether or not the things that are we say are so. The apostles were not above scrutiny in their messages, and so they willingly invited people to discriminate between what they said. In other words, they wanted them to dissect it, to research it, and to see if the things that they were presenting to them were correct. And that is what we suggest everyone does. Not blindly listen to what we have to say, but open your Bibles, read along with us, or go back at some time when you have your leisure time after taking some notes with pen and paper, and read these things, because they're right in your scripture, and reason with us. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Now, when we talk about the last days, many people want to start at the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And they generally start at the last book and fail to get a proper grasp on the meaning of the last days, or somewhere else, somewhere in between. Maybe it's with the book of Matthew, maybe it's chapter 24 of Matthew, maybe it's the book of Daniel, maybe it is with some of the epistles of Paul, where he talks about the last days, and people, therefore, go to these passages and begin to formulate doctrines and opinions about the last days. Well, I would suggest to you that if you're going to understand the last days, that you begin in the book of beginnings, in the book of Genesis, because that is where you will find the first mention of the concept or term last days in the Bible. And when you look at Genesis, you also find the context in which the last days is mentioned. You find that God has a particular family or ethnic group, a national group. They have not at that point developed into a nation, but there was a particular group, a family, to which the term last days was connected. And to separate the term last days from that family or people is to do extreme violence to the concept of the last days. In other words, many people go and read themselves into the message that was designed for a particular people and thereby assume for themselves things and matters that have no connection with them whatsoever because they were not a part of that family or people. So immediately when we begin to look at the last days in the book of Genesis, we get a clear glimpse of the people who were the subject of the prophecies of the last days. Now, let us take a look at the last days and answer the question, are we living in the last days? And we do invite you to call in. Our number is 646-378-1919, 646-378-1919. I'm William Bell, and we are studying today, are we living in the last days? Now, let's focus our attention on the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 49. The Bible says, with Jacob speaking to his sons. Note very carefully, this is an essential and critical point when we discuss the last days. We're starting at the beginning passage, the beginning topic of the last days, the first mention of the last days in the Bible. The Bible says, and Jacob called his sons and said, gather together, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Now, the Bible was written to the Old Covenant people of Israel. Moses was the first one to write. He was a part of Israel. He was of the family of Jacob. He was of the tribe of Levi. And here is Jacob, who is about to die. He has gone to Egypt as a result of the famine that was in Canaan and the great dearth that was in Egypt. And because Joseph had been sold into slavery, and with his governing skills and wisdom from God, he was able to foresee the famine, predict it, prepare for it, and be able to preserve life of those who were destitute and were in danger of starving to death as a result of this severe famine that had overtaken the land. Now, being in this place at the time, Jacob has gathered his sons together to give them his farewell address. In other words, he is going to pronounce blessings upon them. He knows that his days are numbered, that he will no longer be around for a long time, that in a very short time he's going to pass on from the earth. And so he's calling his sons together to give them a blessing. Now, I have a question for you, and you can just note this question mentally, and that question is, are you a member of Jacob's family? Are you a descendant of Jacob? In other words, were you a part of this family that God called together through Jacob in this farewell address? The Bible says, Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Now, circle or underline the word you, because again, we're talking to a specific audience. We're talking to people who were directly involved in the receiving of this message. These were the sons of Jacob. Now, if we go on down, when he says, gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. In other words, my point is, the message of the last days was directed to the people of Israel, to the Jewish nation. And therefore, the last days do not refer to everyone who would ever live on the earth. They only refer to the Jewish nation. As a matter of fact, they didn't refer to anyone before that. The last days, as it is mentioned here, referred to the Jewish nation, to the people of Israel. Now, he goes on and talks about his sons. Of course, Reuben, you are my firstborn. Simeon and Levi are brothers. He talks about Judah. And in particular, Judah is the tribe upon which the most focus is given for the last days. This is where we will find the outworking of the last days relating to the tribe of Judah. And there is a critical reason for that. It is because during the history of Israel, God severed the 10 tribes, that is 10 of the 12 tribes, from the covenant because of idolatry during the days of Jeroboam, and he left only one tribe. It was Judah and Benjamin, of course, who had merged with them along with a small portion of the tribe of Levi. But for the most part, the 10 tribes were carried off into Assyrian captivity according to 1 Kings 17. Now, we'll get to that a little bit later on in the broadcast, should we have time, but I did want to get that out there from the beginning so you'll kind of know why there is focus on the tribe of Judah as it relates to the last days. The point is simply this. During the time of the New Testament, or let's say the time that Christ was on earth, who, by the way, was a member of the tribe of Judah, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12, Christ being of the tribe of Judah, it was very important to understand that Judah was the only tribe that God was focused on. They were the southern kingdom as far as the last days was concerned, because he had already tore the kingdom by cutting off Israel, the northern tribes, as a result of their idolatry. And because of the disobedience of Judah, he would likewise do the same to them. And that is what marked out the time of the last days. But let's look more carefully here in the text. Now, in verse 10, when he speaks about Judah, of course, he had already told them, he says, Judah, you are he whom your brothers praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? Now watch verse 10 very carefully. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people. Now here's the promise that God is making concerning the tribe of Judah. Now again, we're talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. We're talking about the sons of Jacob. The Bible says, Jacob called his sons together to say to them, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel your father. Now Judah, being one of those sons, The Bible is saying, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. In other words, the covenant and the law would remain, the power would remain in the hands of the tribe of Judah until Shiloh comes. Now, Shiloh is a reference to Christ. And the reference here is a reference to his second coming. In other words, the law would not depart until, the old covenant would not pass until Shiloh returned, until the second coming of Christ, is what he's saying. And hence he says, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. In other words, Christ would come, inaugurate a new covenant to which all men would be required to obey and no longer be required to obey God as far as the old covenant was concerned. Now, this is what the Bible prophesies concerning Judah. Now, it's very, very important also that when we turn further in the scriptures, we will find more passages that speak about the last days. One of them I'd like to get before you would be in Numbers chapter 24. Numbers chapter 24, where Balaam also prophesies about the last days, and yet he puts it in the time of Christ, the time that Christ is on earth. And this is important. We will note a passage from the New Testament that emphasizes that Christ's ministry took place within the last days. But the last days of whom? Jacob said, gather around me, you sons of Israel, and let me tell you what shall befall you in the last days. And therefore, the last days are connected to the last days of the people of Israel. Now, in Numbers chapter 24, beginning at verse 14, the Bible says, and now indeed I am going to my people. Come, and I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days. In other words, Balak had desired Balaam to pronounce a curse upon Israel, but because of God intervening, Balaam could not pronounce a curse upon Israel, but only a blessing. And now he tells Balak what his people, that is what the people of God, the people of Israel at the time, were going to do to his people in the latter days. Again, the text is focused on Israel. It was Israel who were the people of God at that particular time, and we have to see that in connection with the last days. So he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. Notice that he says that this star comes out of Jacob and the scepter comes out of Israel. Remember, the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. The scepter represents the power of the Messiah. It represents the rule and the reign of the kingdom of God in the power of the Messiah. And it was Judah who was the remaining tribe that was in covenant relationship with God in the New Testament that God was dealing with primarily during the days of Christ, because again, he had removed Israel from his sight. We'll get to that momentarily. Now, another passage I would like for you to take note of is in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, because Deuteronomy likewise talks about the last days of Israel, and particularly the last days of Judah. Now, Moses gives his farewell address. He is about to die, and he's speaking to Israel in this song of, in what we call the Song of Moses, and that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 32. He says, beginning in verse 1, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teachings drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to God, he is the rock, his work is perfect. Now, if we move back to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and notice verse 29. Notice what Moses tells Israel before introducing the song. He says, "For I know that after my death you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands." Here is Moses telling his people Israel. He is telling the people that he is leading out of the land of Egypt after he has come to his final destination where he is going to die shortly thereafter. He tells them that I'm going to show you what is going to happen to you in the latter days. In other words, he is prophesying to them just as Jacob did to his own sons. The difference is now the people have become a nation. They have grown into literally millions of people from the number 70 that Joseph was talking to at the time when he gave the first speech concerning the last days. Moses is now talking to the people as a nation and telling this nation what is going to happen to them in their latter days in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now, as we look further in the chapter, I want you to note just a couple of points. In verse 16, he says, "They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods, with abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons and not to God." Now, this is a passage which is quoted in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 22, where the Jews provoked God to jealousy. And the Bible says that this passage was fulfilled in the New Testament era during the ministry and the time of Paul. And it shows, therefore, that it relates to the first century generation. Also, in verse 21, the scripture says, "They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation." Now, this passage is likewise quoted in the New Testament, and it is found in the book of Romans. Paul uses the passage to talk about Israel being provoked to jealousy by the coming in of the Gentiles, and therefore showing very clearly that the message that God had prophesied concerning Israel in Israel's last days was being outworked within that first century generation during the ministry of Paul, during the time of Paul and of the gospel message. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 19, he says, "But I say, did Israel not know?" You see, he's still talking to and about Israel. "Did Israel not know?" He says, "First Moses says." Well, where did Moses say this? He said it in Deuteronomy 32, where we just read, "I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation." But Isaiah is very bold and says, "I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me." But to Israel, he says, "All day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." That's what Deuteronomy 32 was all about. It was about Moses telling Israel what they were going to do in the latter days by turning their hearts aside from worshiping God. And that's why Paul asked the question in Romans 11 and verse 1, "I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." In other words, God didn't cast away his people. He gave them the gospel so that they could obey, so that he could save them. But he was not going to save them under the old law, the law that could not take away sin, that was ratified with the blood of bulls and goats. Now, the point being, these were the things that would happen in Israel's latter days. Let's look at just a couple of more passages from Deuteronomy 32, and then we're going to move on hurriedly to 1 Kings chapter 17. This is the first part of the lesson. We will conclude this lesson on tomorrow, where we talk about identifying the last days. Now, God had something laid up in store for Israel. According to Deuteronomy 32, in verse 28, he says, "For they are a nation void of counsel, nor is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. In other words, God says, I'm talking about Israel's last days. I'm talking about their latter end. Now, if you recall our first lesson when we talked about identifying Mystery Babylon, and you can go back and check the archives for that, we identified Mystery Babylon in the book of Revelation as Old Covenant Israel, particularly Judah and the city of Jerusalem. The Bible says in that passage, Revelation chapter 11 and verse 8, that the great city was the city that was spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. In other words, it was Jerusalem where Jesus was crucified because, as he said in Luke 13 and verse 33, it was not possible that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is the city that destroyed all of the prophets, that murdered the prophets and all of the wise men that God had sent to them. And they, of course, persecuted the apostles, murdered apostles, as well as crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what he said concerning them, that they would consider their latter end. And he says, for their vine is of the vine of Sodom. Here in Scripture is God calling Israel, calling Jerusalem, Sodom. The only other nation that was ever called Sodom, besides the literal nation in Genesis 18 and 19, was Israel, was Jerusalem, and therefore Old Covenant Jerusalem. He says, their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter, their wine is the poison of serpents and the cruel venom of cobras. Hence is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures. Vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them, for the Lord will judge his people. That's language in Romans chapter 10, or rather chapter 12. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And also Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord, and the Lord will judge his people. He is referring to his judgment upon Jerusalem, his judgment upon Israel within the first century generation. Now, in the remaining minutes that we have, I want to look very quickly at 1 Kings chapter 17 to merely point out the fact that God had severed away his people Israel, that is the northern kingdom, under the time of Jeroboam, for setting up calf worship in Dan and Bethel, and thereby committing spiritual adultery against God by putting another god before him. And God, therefore, because of their impenitence and because of their hardness of heart, he cut them off from him forever. He caused them to no longer be a part of the nation of Israel, severing them. We find that message concerning them in the book of Hosea, where God cut them off and said they would no longer be a part of his people. You find that in the book of Kings, and God talks about the severing and the cutting off of this nation. We'll have to pick up on this on tomorrow, because we simply do not have the time to get into it on today, but we wanted to lay a foundation for the last days. In summary, what we have pointed out was the last days began with the people of Israel in Genesis 49 and verse 1, where God said, I will tell you what will befall you in the last days. Jacob is talking to his own sons. He has called them together for the farewell address to address them regarding the last days. So the last days is that which refers to the people of Israel. It is not that which is referring to people of today. Now, we'll get more into the connection between these Old Testament passages and the New Testament passages when we come back on tomorrow for conclusion of this study on the last days in part two. I'm William Bell. It's been a pleasure being with you today. We hope that you were able to glean something of interest from the topic today and helping us to understand the last days. We encourage you to visit us at our website, which is www.lastdays-eschatology.net. Again, our website is www.lastdays-eschatology.net. You may also go to our website at www.allthingsfulfill.com. Again, that's www.allthingsfulfill.com. This is William Bell saying have a very pleasant morning.